KNOM Update News. I'm Zachariah Hughes, and it's 2 minutes after 9 o'clock. A Beringia Days conference is currently taking place in Anadyr, Russia. While yesterday's conference discussion revolved around the shared cultural heritage of the Chukotka and Alaska Native peoples, the conference is also a time for people of shared cultures to simply come together. KNOM's Lorelei Kanin reports from Anadyr.
Luda Iyanla is a cultural leader here in Anadyr. Seen sitting right beside her at the Beringia Days conference is usually John and Arlene Wally from Savunga. Iyanla is Siberian Yupik, as are the Wallys, and after speaking with them for a few minutes, you'd learn that their time here together is very special. Through most of their lifetimes, their relationships were closed off. The governments of Russia and the United States kept the people, although related and of close kinship, from meeting as they did for centuries. Iyanla, with interpretive help from a Russian friend of hers, talked of the relationship.
She clearly remembers from her childhood that when relatives from Sivukka and Gamble were visiting Unazik, they spoke native language. They didn't need an interpreter. And she clearly knew those people are relatives, related.
Although Iyanla never met her relatives that were separated by bureaucracy, she still wanted them.
Verbally, she knew the names of the relatives, never meeting them before. So when, after 40 years of iron curtains, they came to the Chukotkan coast, for Aynana it was easy to start talking, to recognize them by the names. She knew already.
And now the Siberian Yupik people can meet again. Sometimes Chukotkans travel to St. Lawrence Island, sometimes St. Lawrence Islanders travel to Chukotka. While some take it for granted today, Iyanla does not.
Интересно, чем занимаются наши родственники, как они там живут, и когда-нибудь мы увидим их или нет.
She remembers that during that time of Iron Curtain, there was 40 years of Iron Curtains between two countries. She watched her parents walking onto the shore and looking towards that land across the strait. And it was sad and also hope in the same time.
And today at the Beringia Days conference here in Anadyr, Iyanla and the Wallys sit together, eat together, speak Siberian Yupik, and enjoy each other's company. From Savunga, John Wally.
To be able to have physical contact and be able to hold hands and embrace and drink tea and fellowship and sing and dance, the hair on the back of your neck rises. You get goosebumps. You feel the spirituality, the connection. The tears will flow. You'll be smiling all the time. Just to be able to have that opportunity to make that reconnection.
And although the families and friends cannot regularly visit one another, there is a sense that the two people are always wanting of each other, wanting of their family, wanting to share, wanting to simply know.
To be able to have the same DNA, to be able to have slanted eyes like they do, and to be able to eat the same foods that they do. The friendships we develop with them, they've always told us, come to Wing Amuntagit, come to Anadyr, come and be with us and feel the friendship that we want to give you like we got it on the island. It's the best feeling in the world.
John and Arlene Wally have a few more days to meet and spend time with people, their people who live in a different country. Saturday is the final day of the International Science Conference of Beringia Days. Reporting in Anadyr, I'm Lorelei Kanin.
The Interior Department is seeking suggestions for additional offshore tracks that could be drilled for petroleum in the Chukchi Sea off Alaska's northwest coast. The Bureau of Ocean Energy Management announced Thursday it's calling for track nominations for a potential oil and gas lease sale in 2016. The Bureau says the 45-day call is the first step in a targeted approach to offshore leasing. A targeted sale is designed to lease areas with the most promising potential while protecting sensitive habitat. Arctic offshore drilling is bitterly opposed by many environmental groups in both the U.S. and abroad. Oceana Deputy Vice President Susan Murray says in a prepared statement that additional Chukchi leasing is premature. She says there's no proven technology allowing companies to drill safely in Arctic Ocean conditions, and risks outweigh potential benefits. The town of Shishmaref is scrapping its plans to relocate. Climate change has caused the land around Shishmaref to change dramatically in the last few years. To preserve the community, the town worked with the Army Corps of Engineers to develop potential relocation plans. But recently, the last of the original plans were deemed unsuitable. So, Shishmaref and its partners are weighing their remaining options. Stan Taktu, president of the IRA Council, says alternatives keep running out.
Started out, like I said, 11 sites, and it was feasible, then down to 7, down to 3. Now, for infrastructure purposes, all these sites are not very feasible. Our next bet is to build, beef up the island north side or move to the east side, which they have to still study too. First we do public meeting and they start the study.
In recent years, the natural barriers protecting Shishmaref from storms and the Chukchi Sea have deteriorated. With the ocean freezing later in the season, autumn storms erode sand from the protective northern side of the island. As Taktu explains, storms push seawater further up the diminishing shore, destroying the permafrost.
So all the storms attack the north side of the village and then eat the permafrost away. Next high tide comes, collapses, or the low tide comes, collapses the exposed ground. High tide comes and washes away the remaining island. The land loss we had in one storm, 20 feet land loss in 1 hour, so that's quite a bit of land.
There are many technical problems with the proposed relocation plans. For example, it meant barging in stone for as much as $800,000 a delivery. And Shishmaref didn't have the heavy equipment necessary to move boulders or large quantities of rock. Shishmaref's village council met this week and is taking steps to decide which of the new measures to pursue. Right now, the two options available are for the town to stay put or else expand over Shishmaref's narrowing channel to the east side. As bits of the northern shore are washed away, more debris is building up the east side of the island, but it still lacks a reliable water supply. For the time being, existing infrastructure like the sewage system on the island's north side will need to be protected by reinforcing the seawall. Taktu says the last few years Shishmaref has been lucky the storms haven't been too harsh, but that it's only a matter of time until the fierce storms cause major damage on the island. In the longer term, the community needs a way to maintain its heritage.
I hope we're planning things right, because we're doing this not for ourselves. We're trying to plan things for our safety, for our family and our kids, you know. Everybody near Shishmaref is about 95% Inupiaq, and they live off the land and the sea. Our culture and our traditions still rich within us.
Shishmaref will have to consult with the Army Corps of Engineers once more to assess any new relocation plans going forward. The town is trying to secure funding by working with members of Congress and government officials, along with native corporations and tribal partners. The federal government is dropping guidelines for federal purchases of seafood that could have excluded Alaskan salmon from the national parks and military bases. Channel 2 News' Mallory Peebles and Heather Handyside from the office of Senator Begich report the move will allow the federal government to buy seafood without a sustainability stamp from a non-governmental agency like the Marine Stewardship Council. Alaska salmon producers dropped Marine Stewardship Council's sustainability certification last year due to changing standards and to increasing costs of the program. Since then, Alaska seafood groups have been using a standard established by the United Nations. The issue gained traction when Walmart announced it might pull Alaska salmon from its shelves. Walmart requires its fish to be approved by the Marine Stewardship Council, and Walmart holds many contracts with federal agencies. Walmart says it wants to continue stocking Alaskan seafood, and the retailer is working with the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute on its Responsible Fisheries Partnership Program for salmon. A Walmart senior director of sustainability said a decision on Walmart's policy could come out by the end of the year. And this morning in New York, gold is up $13.80 to $1,337.60 an ounce. Silver is up 9 cents to $21.82 an ounce, and zinc is at 85 cents a pound. Flight 152 is expected to depart from Nome, to arrive in Nome at 11:24, and Flight 151 should depart from Nome at 12:15 today. Unofficially, it's 31 degrees outside the KNOM studios, 12 minutes after 9 o'clock.